your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, go ahead and give Him a good hand clap praise tonight if you love Him. Hallelujah. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Had a wonderful time here over the weekend. Did you enjoy the services? The word of the Lord was just outstanding. And I know you're looking forward to this service tonight. We have come with many needs in our lives. But God is here to give us whatever we have a need of. Do you believe that? Do you believe He's still a prayer answering God? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. What a privilege it is to be here. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. Brother David, if you wouldn't mind to pray over the needs tonight as we get ready to pray. Brother Jerry Glenn, wants us to remember his wife, Sister Deanna. She had cataract surgery today. Please pray for a speedy recovery. So they're asking that we would remember Sister Deanna in prayer tonight. I want to pray for Benny Roselle. She is a neighbor of Brother Eric, Sister Laura Krause. She had a stroke and has requested that the church would remember her in prayer. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Baker offers this testimony. He had got something in his eye. And after prayer over the weekend, the pastor and the saints of God prayed for him. He woke up Monday morning, could see just perfectly, no problems whatsoever. He wants to praise the Lord for that. Amen. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand tonight. Amen. Brother Gary sends this in. Brother Gary Harris is to remember a lady that I work for, a Mrs. Young. She has had arthritis for a long time, and it's very, very bad. So they're asking that we would remember her tonight. I want to pray for Jill Sheffield and Aaron Hedrick, both from Missouri. They have desperate needs in their lives and need God to touch them in a mighty way. So we'll just commit that need unto the Lord. This is another testimony. Sister Barbara Grabley wants to thank everyone for your prayers and for the Lord answering prayer for her granddaughter-in-law, who will get to go home tomorrow. She gave birth to a child. There were several complications, but the Lord has come on the scene, and they're looking to get her home tomorrow. So praise the Lord for that. I want to pray for Sister Sarah Yance. She is at home, not feeling well tonight. Let's remember her as we pray. I want to pray for the family of Sister Walmsley for many needs. The Lord knows all about it. We'll just commit it unto the Lord. And also tonight, we want to remember Stephen Archer. That's Sister Gail's son. He's in the hospital, very sick, with a spot on his liver. Other complications are just asking that we would remember that need tonight as we pray. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, we know we're serving a prayer-answering God, don't we? He has come on the scene many, many times. Let's pray for all those that are traveling, vacating, and different things. Our pastor up in Indiana for some services there be starting in the next few days. Let's pray that God would just bless those folks in a wonderful way. And, well, we're just glad to be able to be in the house of God. We've still got victory in the Lord, still serving a risen Savior, still love Him with all of our hearts. Am I speaking for you? Am I speaking for you tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Brother David, come tonight. Lead us to the Lord. Certainly appreciate this guy right here, didn't we? Amen. Amen. He preached here like he believed what he's talking about, really. I believe he does. Don't you, Brother David? We love you, man.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, first of all, this evening, we want to thank you for these testimonies that's been turned in. Knowing, Lord, that you're a mighty God and that you've moved upon our behalf. Lord, for you said in your word, Lord, if we would call, that you would answer. And we thank you, Lord, for each one that you've touched, Lord. Hearing things that's been done, Lord, even the services last weekend, Lord, not just here, but in different places. We want to give you praise for it and thanksgiving our hearts. Lord, for these needs, Lord, it's been brought to the attention of the people tonight. Lord, we come together as a body of believers, taking our faith and uniting as one to stand against the enemy. We ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would come. May you move down upon each need, dear God. May you touch them tonight, Lord. Some of them's desperate tonight, Lord, and they need you to move. We ask, Lord, on behalf of your word, may you touch them, Father. And Lord, we want to ask you now that you would just be in the remainder of this service, Lord. May you anoint the minister. May you move in this place in a great way. Touch our pastor, Lord. Be with him. Strengthen him, I ask, Father. May you be with him in the service. Lord, anoint him in a great way. We'll be giving you careful the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service tonight, we pray to be a great blessing to those folks as well. Brother Melvin Lynch wanted us to announce tonight that there will be a trustee meeting in the men's nursery following tonight's service. So trustees, remember that. Be a meeting in the men's nursery tonight at the conclusion of this service. So remember that. Let's sing a song tonight. It's old as the hills, but it's still a good song. I'm going to take a trip on the old gospel ship. I'm not looking to jump off. Are you? I'm looking to stay aboard this ship because it's going to get us safely home. Do you believe that? Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to take a trip on the old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Yes, I'm going to take a trip on the old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. I have good news to bring. That is why I sing. All of my joy with you I share. I'm going to take a trip in that old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm going to take a trip on the old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing till the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late. I'm going to spend my time in prayer. When my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin. Go sailing through the air. I'm going to take a trip on the old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye.
You're ashamed of me. You have no cause to be. For with Christ I am an heir. If too much falls, you'll find me. You should have been left behind. We go sailing through the air.
Trip on the
good old gospel ship.
I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring. I'm bidding this world goodbye.
If you're ashamed of me, you have no cause to be.
That's right.
For with Christ I am an heir. And if too much fault you'll find,
you'll
surely be left behind. While this bride goes sailing through the
gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Now I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late. I'm going to spend my time in prayer. When my ship comes in, I'm going to leave this world of sin, go sailing through the air. I'm going to take a trip on the old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. The Lord. Let's sing that little chorus, I'm going to make it. The reason I know I'm going to make it is because He told me I would. And His Word cannot lie. He that hath begun a good work in you. Let me tell you something. Papa God's big enough to finish it. Do you believe that tonight? You believe you're on the verge of being a completed product? Do you believe that with all your heart? Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Brother Baker, if you want to come onto the platform. Brother Joel Yance, Brother Chuck, if you come onto the platform, get ready to sing with Brother Harry tonight. Brother Baker, if you come on right real quickly, we'll go right on into the service tonight. But let's sing this chorus. Sing it with belief in your heart that in spite of your failures, in spite of your disappointments, how many of you ever disappoint yourself? How many of you feel like sometimes you're just the biggest failure that's ever been? Well, you know what? You've got a very good accuser. The old booger man, he's a good accuser. He's an accuser of the brethren. Do you believe that? And he'll tell you all day long, all night long, make you doubt, make you fear, make you question your experience. But I'm going to tell you something. You're a believer tonight because God chose you to be a believer. Are you glad about that? Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm going to Brother Baker, come on and give us a song tonight. You can be seated. Let's give our singers a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing.
You pray for me. I'm nervous. I don't want to get you nervous. It's been requested several times. And hopefully I can get through it without passing away or passing out. So, you all pray for me.
What a beautiful thought I've been thinking. on the pages of God's holy word, and desiring to lower her standards, they watch every move this little bride makes, for they long to find fault with her teaching. Oh, but really they find no mistake. I am glad I have learned of her meekness. I'm so glad that my name's on that little book, for I long to be one never fearing on the face of my Savior too. And with all other churches against her, they envy her glory and fame, for they long to find fault with her teaching on mercy. They find no mistakes, sorry. And when Christ cometh descending from heaven on the cloud, as he writes in his word, I'll be joyfully carried to meet him on the wings of that great speckled bird. Oh, on the of that great
Chuck asked what we were singing, and we decided we only know one song, so that pretty much summarizes it. Go and put the words up there, though.
Well, so many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. My frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded, I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. As I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy, and the hill would not be hard. Without fighting, but he said, help would always come in time.
without fighting,
but he said
help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting,
but he said
help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again.
So just hold on. Our Lord will show up,
and He will take you through the fire.
Just hang on. No matter what my failures, my trials, my all the shortcomings of my life, in spite of my fears, in spite of myself, in spite of all the things that I come up short with, in spite of this flesh, in spite of whatever that I cannot accomplish in life, I believe I'm just going to go on anyway. I believe I'm going to go on anyway. Whatever comes my way, I believe I'm just going to go on anyway. You realize right now we are living in not one of the greatest paradoxes, but the greatest paradox I think that's ever been on the face of the earth. We're living right in the middle of it right now, because realizing this is Satan's Eden, Satan's paradise, Satan's zenith, Satan's headquarters, everything, the devil's at his pinnacle, at his peak. And at the same time, when Satan is the head of every country, every ruler, he's a chief of all of it. And yes, God's got a bride on this earth. She's going to keep every word. She's going to see a translation. He only gave Eve one word to keep, and she didn't keep that. But we've been given the whole Bible, the whole word to keep, and she'll keep every word. That's a paradox. And if it's ever been a paradox, it's right now. And guess what? Somebody is going to do it. Somebody is going to do it. Somebody. And you know what, Brother Louie? It might as well be me. It might as well be me. If it's just going to be one in Tennessee, I suggest you move. That's the faith you got to have. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Such a privilege to be here. It's an honor to be in the house of God. Every time or when Brother Donnie will text me to preach here, I always respond back. He said, can you take the service for me Wednesday? I said, it'll be an honor to take the service. It's an honor. I have no right to this pulpit. That's his pulpit. But when I'm invited to speak, it's an honor to stand behind this pulpit. Because I'm speaking to the purchased of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm speaking to the redeemed. I'm speaking to part of the portion of the bride of Christ around the world. It's an honor to speak to such. Great character. Great character. In the book of John chapter 4, I'll call your attention to three or four scriptures. They're not necessarily related together, but to show a principle here. John chapter 4, verse 16. And I was able to get all of my scriptures and quotes in, so I'm sure they'll have them on the screen. And that really works out real good. I'm, like myself, I'm, you know, kind of a half-wit, so I like to hear it and read it. You know, it helps me. So maybe it'll help you too. I know nobody else is. That's just me. You know, I'm born in Florida, so that's probably what it was, you know. But Jesus said unto her, John 4:16, Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast said well, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You know what? Before I come into the message, I did not realize she was a predestinated seed before I came to the message. I had to change my way of thinking. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's in the Bible. But you know, before I come into the message, I didn't believe that. I thought it was Matthew 28:19, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I had to change my way of thinking. Maybe I'm strange from Florida, you know. Revelation 10:7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. You know what? Before I come into the message, I didn't realize Revelation 10:7, who, what, where, and so forth. I had to change my way of thinking. Romans 12:1. I beseech my text, Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Let's pray, and I'll let you be seated. Heavenly Father, I count it a privilege to stand here, Lord. Behind this sacred desk, I'm speaking to the redeemed of God. Lord, perhaps, Lord, there would be one out there that has not been redeemed yet. Lord, I don't know the condition. Everybody, Lord, that's up to the individual. But we're trusting that there'll be nobody that does not make it out of this assembly. But I pray, Lord, if something will be said of be of eternal substance and essence that would help to guide us a little closer to Christ. Our whole purpose is to come closer to Christ, that we might be the representative, the ambassador on earth that you'd have us to be. And my desire is not for any pat on the back for anything good. There's nothing good about any of us. We can never preach a perfect sermon. There's nothing perfect about us except for that seed. But I pray, God, that you'll help us, anoint us tonight, that things that are said, may they be absolute in your word, and may it be truth, and may it be a blessing to the people. We ask for your guidance and leadership in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Now we want to start out, it's quote 1964, Mighty God Unveiled. Just like a seed, just a little foundation here. Just like a seed, and I'll give you my title in a minute. In the morning, like a seed in the morning glory, the seed of flower, it falls into the ground, the seed of corn falls into the ground. What is the first thing? It comes up, and it's a little sprout. Then it goes to a tassel. Then from a tassel back to the original grain. Okay, just catch that thought. You know, you have a seed, goes through its process, then it's back to the grain, to the original grain. Well, that's exactly what the church has done. Now listen to this declaration. It comes from Luther, Wesley, now back to the original grain. Now back to the original grain. See where we are now, back to its original glory, back to the glory it was at the beginning. The sun that rose in the east is the same sun that manifesting the same in the west, changing from glory to glory. It changed from pagan down to Luther, from Luther down to Wesley, from Wesley out into Pentecost and on, changing from glory to glory, producing the hidden manna. And now, It's right to bring him back. Notice what he's saying here, 64. Now it's right to bring him back exactly like he was at the beginning. His same ministry, the same Jesus. Now look at this declaration and this prophecy. The same power, the same Holy Ghost, the same one that came down on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Ghost that manifests today from glory unto glory to glory and back in its original seed. Back in its original scene with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the same signs, same wonders, same baptism, same kind of people acting the same way. What a quote. I mean, what a statement. Acting the same way with the same power, the same sensation. It's from glory unto glory. The next will be changed from this glory into a body like his own glorious body. Listen, this is 1964. Body like his own glorious body, where we shall see him. Abraham saw the same. Notice this next verse. Listen to this. Now notice, we see how it changed since Calvary. We are invited to share his glory. Wow. Wow. You know what? Ever since I came into the message, since I've come into the message, I've had to change my way of thinking. Because if you go and research that, Brother Bram said about 9 times, he said, God won't share his glory with nobody. But now he's saying here, we've been invited to share his glory. You got to understand what he's saying. Remember Donnie preached that message several years ago. Brother Donnie preached that message, you know, without understanding, you have to understand what he's trying to say. No contradiction. You understand what he's saying? What he's saying, God has many types of glory. And this type of glory is the glory of oneness. This is a oneness glory. There's lots of kinds of glory. We will never be the person of Jesus Christ, but we are sharing in some of that glory even as I speak. Remember, the whole focus today, the bride is recognizing who she really is. That's the focus today, recognizing who she is. We recognize who Brother Bram was, but can you recognize who you are? You must recognize who you really are. You say, share his glory? I want scripture for it. Well, I'm glad you asked. St. John 17, this is Jesus' prayer. St. John 17, 20, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So that same glory that he had, the glory of oneness, he has given that same glory to his elected bride. Now, if you can't truly say that and believe that, then you need to change your way of thinking. Because to recognize who we really are, we've got to recognize that we are sons and daughters of God, passed from death into life. No more a slavish spirit, no more a servant spirit in that respect, but we are children, we are heirs. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad about that. You know, our thinking is, of course, shaped by the world that we live in. You know, the first 5 to 7 years of our life, that's the most formative years of a child's life. And just to prove this to you, we're shaped by the environment that we live in, how we're raised in. You take a child born in America, maybe he's 6 months old. That baby don't know one word of English. Born in English, it's an English-speaking nation. You take him over to Russia and let him stay there for 7 years, and you bring him back to America, guess what? What language is he going to speak? Not English, but Russian. He'll come back, he don't know one word of English. Why? Because he was raised in Russia. All he ever knows is what he has heard. He's a product of what he heard. I don't care what country he went in, he's going to speak that language. And guess what? Those first 7 years, that language will always be with him. Because that's ingrained in those memory banks. It'll always be with him. He may not remember all of it, but that language will always be with him. That's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, it won't depart from him. If you train him up right, he can't get away from it. He might get away from it, but it won't get away from him. Train him up. It's got to be that way. So our thinking is shaped by the world that we live in. That's why we needed a message in this hour. That's why we needed Malachi 4. That's why we needed an answer to Malachi 4. That's why we needed some training. Because of, as Brother Donnie brought out so many times, because of the tradition, we've heard this, and we've been to that church, we've been to this church, we've heard all kinds of things, and that's what we're a product of, what we heard in the past. But all of that's got to die. What did the prophet say in Visible Union? That first husband must die. I don't care if it's a world or whether it's the denomination, whether it's independent, that first husband must die. Be born into this new word. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. The original Greek says rational religious service. Pray tell me, how are we going to bring our bodies subject, going to be able to do that, and these bodies are not redeemed? Well, Paul said somebody's going to do it, so somebody's going to do it. These bodies will be brought subject to the Word. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. And this is how you're going to be transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. The original dialogue says, and do not conform yourself to this age, but be transformed. But transform yourself by the renovation of your mind. Renovation. Brother, who's the person that does the transforming? You. You, me, we're the one that got to transform ourselves by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's good, acceptable, and perfect. So what am I saying here? So this renovation, you know, when you renovate a house, guess what? All the old stuff goes out, new stuff comes in. I don't care, you renovate it, the old, you tear out the old stuff, you got to bring in the new. What do you think about this old mind? This old mind, they got a lot of old stuff in it. Now, my title is Changing the Way We're Thinking. I'm going to go through a little history here, kind of why, for about 5 minutes or more, why America is where she is right now, the mindset in America. You remember now, our thinking is shaped by the world around us. Now, when Paul wrote this Romans 12:1, he was dealing with a corrupted government, a government of Roman paganism, evil thinking, and corruptness around paganism. Anything goes. Paul is actually to try to change their way of thinking also, their value system, their way of thinking. In the late 1700s, in England, it was going through the Industrial Revolution. And there was, back then during this Industrial Revolution, there was what they had child forced labor, and they made children work 12 to 16 hours a day in the factories. And you know, hey, one day in the factory, they'd kill half of our kids. But back then, they had to do it. Children were forced to work 6 days a week. The only day off was Sunday. These were poor, lower class kids. I mean, they were made to work. No option. You work 6 days a week, 12, 16 hours a day in the factory. They were lower class, no education. They couldn't read or write. They were illiterate. And as a result, these kids, most of them, they stayed in trouble because Sunday was their only day off. So on Sundays, what did they do? They robbed and they plundered and they looted and they did pranks and destruction. And it was a dark hour for England back then, a couple of hundred years ago. But there was a man there by the name of Robert Raikes. He got hit by some hooligans one day and he thought, you know, this is not right. These kids are illiterate. They can't read or write. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try something. I got to get these kids off the street. They work 12, 16 hours a day, stay in trouble on Sunday. I'm going to get them off the street on Sunday. So this is what he thought. I'm going to set up a school to teach these kids how to read and write. Not only am I going to teach them how to read and write, I'm going to teach them some moral principles. And the only book we're going to use is the Bible. We're going to read out of the Bible. So about 1790, Sunday school was born in England. He started his experience with kids 5 to 13 years old. It didn't go too well for the first 10 years. But by 1825, 1.2 million children was attending Sunday school every Sunday. Changed the mindset of that whole country. That was about 18% of the children. Sunday school then, most of the day was just, the first half was just learning to read and write. The second half of the day was learning principles of morality and behavior. That was all started just to give them something to do and get them off the street. And they grew up with the Christian principles. They didn't all comply, but at least many of them did. And it changed the whole mindset about teaching children in England. And then that same mindset found its way to America. And Sunday school was started in America. Remember what Brother Bam said about Sunday school? God's only provide a place of worship. He said, now how many like Sunday school? Oh my, that's right. It's good to send your children to. No, let me correct that. It's a good thing to bring your children to. That's right, to bring your children to. You come also. How many knows our Sunday school was first originated? Where was it originated? England. What was it called? Ragged school. That's right, called Ragged school. And I forgot the man's name, established it. What was his name? Somebody says Robert Rakes. That's exactly right. He got the little fellows off the street, was ragged, wouldn't have no place to go, very bad. Brought them in and started giving them lessons on the Bible. And it grew to one of the greatest orders of the church nearly today. Sunday school, good to go. Be sure to bring your children. But like any good thing, you know, Satan can't stand it. Like anything, he can't stand it. So what happened in America in the last 100 years? America did pretty well until the last 100 years, but watch what how Satan began to work. 1914, 1918, the First World War, what happened? Many of the potential church leaders was killed in World War I. The men had to go to war, so they stripped out many of them right there. And then the great flu epidemic of 1918, 1919, in England and so forth, and that during that time killed more people than both wars together, how it killed young men and women. More than both wars. About 1920, the women were given the right to vote. 1940, World War II killed 1,000 more men. Of course, you know, obviously could be potential leaders, not only church leaders, but good leaders. And then women went into the workforce for the war effort. And then the Industrial Revolution, age of prosperity here in America. And then in the 50s, this nation as a whole actually began to get away from Christianity. Prosperity set in. You know, we're making money. We got the factories are building airplanes for the war effort and this, that, and the other. And then, of course, remember now we had, of course, the prophet came on the scene and born 1906. And what a great influence Brother Branham had. Not only he spearheaded the healing revival, but he restored the word. But there was another man that was born 1905. I never actually heard of him, and probably you hadn't either. But he had a great influence on the world, and I'm bringing this for a purpose. He had a great influence. His name was Jean-Paul Sartre, S-A-R-T-R-E. He was a French philosopher. And this is what he believed. He believed there was no creator, and he said that human beings have no essence before their existence because there is no creator. In other words, they have no essence. There's no creator. So before you're created, you have no essence before your existence. Well, obviously, he never read Ephesians 1:4. You know, we were chosen in Christ to be holy and blameless. That's essence before existence. But he didn't believe that. But this philosopher, he actually was the one that spearheaded that theory. And this theory actually grew and grew and grew. That truth is relative and not absolute. Truth is relative and not absolute. And that theory has swept the world. Swept the world. Truth is ever what you want it to be. It don't matter what it is. Whatever you want truth to be, that's what truth is. And that theory, because of the influence of that man, look what the influence of the prophet for his generation, what he did on the positive side, and the influence on the negative side of this French philosopher, that truth is relative, it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever you want truth to be, that's the way it is. Then it began a new culture of paganism in America. The 50s and 60s rebellion, Elvis, Beatles, Woodstock, you name it. No wonder Brother Bam's not said in 56 America, she'll either accept this year or turn it down. I predict she'll turn it down. Remember the anointing of this age, people's rights. And people's rights, that spirit of people's rights has absolutely destroyed this nation. People's rights has destroyed this nation. Because of somebody, and I don't want to get into politics or anything like that, but because of the minorities and this group and this group and this group and this group, you know, you can lobby on D.C. and get done whatever you want to because of minorities. That's ruined this nation, people's rights. Now it's a total abandonment of morality and Christian principles. The theme today is no fear, I can't hear, just be queer or whatever you want to do. Yes, dear, don't matter. I mean, the nation is gone. She's filthy. She's polluted. She's past redemption. I think America needs to change the way she thinks. Will she? No, sir. And the church world has done the same thing. But God said, I've got some seed down there on this earth, and they need to change their way of thinking. I'm talking about before God sent a prophet. I'm going to send a prophet to prepare them for my coming. Said, I'm going to come down in 63, and I'm going to break those seals, and I'm going to loose the book, and I'm going to reveal who I am to change their way of thinking. God was saying, this little brat has got to start changing the way they think. And thus there was born a movement that we are now a part of that has changed the thinking of not only religious people, but people that believe that the Word of God is true. He's totally changed our way of thinking. It's not like it was used to be years ago. We don't think like denominations. We don't think like the independents. We don't think like even the Pentecostals back then. We've got a new way of thinking. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Listen, don't miss this. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Be equal with God. That's what they killed him for. He was God. And his brother Jason, he brought it out so good when he preached it 3 or 4 weeks ago. He said, you know, Paul was caught up into third heaven and he spoke things that wasn't lawful to speak. And I'm sure there's many other things. But one thing back for the Jewish religion that wasn't lawful to speak was that you was to make yourself one with God. That's why they killed Jesus, because he said, I and the Father are one. And they accused him, said, you be a man, make yourself God. He was God. So they killed him for it. But Brother Bram said that since Pentecost, we've been invited to share in His glory. But for 1900 years, brothers and sisters, Christians have been invited to share in His glory of oneness. But it couldn't actually happen until the full Word was born into manifestation and full Word was restored in our day. Now, this is the age. This is the hour. This is the time where the full Word, since it has been born into manifestation, that we can share in His oneness glory. Because it's restored back to as He was. God, even from the beginning, wanted to have a bride that He could dwell in. He wanted to have a people He could dwell in. Remember, you are that third temple is in you. You house that third temple. Oh, it's a beautiful picture. Actually, where we are in this last day. The rising of the sun says, she's bone in my bone, flesh in my flesh, life in my, she is Him. Amen. We've got to be able to recognize, that's me. That's me, Brother Jim. That's me. I accept it. In 1962, Brother Ben said, supposed to work original seed. He said, there's an infant bride upon this earth. First seal, 1963, he said, I'm going to call you bride. He said, the message before he preached the breach there, God in simplicity, he said that I talked about the renewing of the tabernacle and reconstructed and made over and everything, and said my first duty in this new building was to marry a young bride and a bridegroom. He said, I hope that's a type. I hope that's a type. But it was a type. His first duty, and he said, I'm here, my mission on earth, is to bring the bride to the word to the bride and so forth. But he said, I've been called to get a bride and to marry a bride and introduce her to Christ. Thus it happened. But in 1965, Brother Bam said, invisible union. Now, notice this statement. And I don't have this one on the screen, but it's just short. Listen to it. It says, we know that the modern church in its present condition, in its present state, is in no condition to finish up the great commission that God gave the church for this day. It said, we're oneness, two-ness, and this, that, and the other, fuss, fight, and that. And every one of them afraid to face the Word. I caught when I was thinking about this today. And every one of them are afraid to face the Word. He says, every one of them are afraid to face the Word, right down to the rest. Listen, how tremendous that statement is. Afraid to face the Word. Brother Brown was up in Chicago and he talked about water baptism, and 300 Protestants come out and rebaptized. He said not a one of them ever came. They're afraid to face the Word. Same problem with the falling away today. Why are people falling away today? They're afraid to face the Word. You gotta be a special called out people. You gotta be a special anointed people to be able to face the Word, to take the Word, to receive the Word, to hear the Word, to act on the Word, to be the Word. It's gonna take a special people. A people that's not in bondage, but a people that's been liberated. They talk about, when I was around the message, people that have fallen away, that I was in bondage. Brother and sister, I said it before and I'll say it again. Anything that's a passion is never a burden. Anything that's a passion is never bondage. If you love truth, you love the Word, you love the Bible, you love the message, it's not a burden, it's your passion. The reason people are like that is because they've never had a birth. They've never been born again. They never passed from death into life. It's never become a passion to them. When you fall in love with Christ, everything else is dead. It's all dead. They are afraid to face the Word. Same thing today. He said they can't agree on even one or two words. He said, so that means the denomination is out. He said it'll take an elected people. It's elected for that. And, amen. Predestinated, Brother Charlie. That's right. November 1965. Listen to what he says. I'm trying to do God a service. He's talking about it. There won't be any more denominations. He says, there can't be any more. It's sweet now. But we're plenty green. That's right. This is right before the Lord took him on. We're plenty green. Have to lay in the presence of the sun to be mellowed up. That's all of it. Plenty green. We haven't got the... Notice what he says after he says we're plenty green. We haven't got the sincerity, the sacredness, the thing that we ought to have. This is not on the screen. I just got put this in today. We haven't got the sincerity and sacredness, the thing we ought to have in our midst, to know that the Spirit of the living God moving in His Word and showing us the things yet. Now, don't nobody misunderstand me and read this quote. It said they were plenty green. That's 1965. They were plenty green in 1965. I wasn't even in the message, but those that were, they were plenty, because that was the season for it. In 62, it was an infant bride. Declaring in 63, there is a bride. In 65, it was still an infant bride. But it's not an infant bride today. We are nearing maturity, but we're not quite fully baked like we know need to be, but we're still laying in the presence of the sun. But we're not plenty green. It was then, but it's not now. This is adoption time. This is maturity time. This is going home time. But we still got to lay in the presence of the sun to get the rest of it out. He said it then and he still said it today. We still don't have the sincerity and sacredness in our midst. Notice the rest of the sentence. The sincerity and sacredness, the thing we ought to have in our midst to know that the Spirit of the... To know that the Spirit of the living God moving in His Word and showing us the things yet. And I say, what things? It sounds like to me like when Jesus on the way to Emmaus and they said, you know, haven't you heard about these things? And Jesus says, what things? But the resurrected Jesus was right there with them. And they didn't see it. They didn't recognize it. The resurrected Christ was right there walking with and talking to them and they didn't recognize it. But he's talking about moving in His Word and showing us things yet. Things like what? Well, things like we're beginning to be the Word made flesh. We're beginning to, the move is on for the bride. Things like I and my Father are one. Things like I'm sharing in His glory right now. Can we be able to say these things? Are we able to actually declare ourselves as being this? Can we declare ourselves thus? I never sinned in the first place. The rapture is in me right now. I'm tabernacling deity. My passion is Christ alone. I've entered into the holiest of holies. I'm part of the tithe of God's kingdom. Can we say this right there? If we can't, we better change our way of thinking. To be able to recognize who we are, then the question is, who are we? What is God trying to do? What is God trying to do right before the rapture? What is He trying to do? He is trying to get a people born and designed and created in His likeness to bear His image. He's always wanted to have sons and daughters of God just like Him. They were like Adam who was made in His likeness. Everything that he lost, we got to go back to. We've got to be that restored. As Brother Donnie said, plus. Because we can't even fall. There's not even no way to fall. We're predestinated to stand. We're ordained to stand. We cannot fail. Somebody is going to do it. Somebody's going to make it. Somebody's going to walk out of here like Enoch did. Somebody's going to do it. I don't care what the devil says, what the Pope says, Obama says. I don't care what ISIS says or anybody else says. Somebody's going to leave this world in a rapture. Somebody's going to do it. Showing us things yet. Brother, I believe these things. I believe if we can truly begin to say these things with confidence. If we can't, let's just change our way of thinking. Amen. Brother Brenham says, you must be born again. Now, the approach to this birth, there's approach to it. And to approach it by birth, you have to go through a process, just like anything that lives. Anything that lives again has got to die first. And you cannot keep your listen to this. In a birth, it's got to be a change. That's why we talk about a new birth. You were born once, you got to be born again. Nicodemus couldn't understand it. There's got to be another birth, a new birth. A new, N-E-W, new birth. Anything that lives again has got to die first. You cannot keep your same spirit. You cannot keep your same habits. You cannot keep your same thoughts. You've got to die. You've got to die like he died. You've got to die on his altar like Abel did with his lamb. You've got to die with your lamb. You've got to die. Die to your own thinking and be born of his thinking. I'm talking about tonight, we've got to change our way of thinking. To die to your own thinking, to be born of his thinking. Let the mind that was Christ Jesus be in you. You've got to think his thoughts. You've got to think his thoughts. It's not an option. We're talking about going in a rapture, having the mind of Christ, getting out of here, being a Messiah or whatever. We've got to start thinking his thoughts. We've got to start thinking like God thinks. We've got to start thinking like Jesus thinks. You see, the little thing came out several years ago, what would Jesus do? You know, keychains and so forth. What would Jesus do? Well, before he did it, he had to think about it. And we know that Brother Bram said in the Bible, says St. John 5:19, whatever it is, the Son can do nothing except for what he sees the Father do at first. He said God always showed him a spirit. Jesus did nothing except what he saw the Father do first. Amen. He saw the Father do it, and the Son does hitherto. He does the same thing. So that we, like Christ, we've got to change our thinking to do what he tells us to do. We've got to do what he said. You've got to think his thoughts. Listen, if we're ever going to get out of here, we've got to change our way of thinking. We've got to stinking like God. Start stinking. We've got to start thinking. I remember somebody told me years ago, said, you got to change your stinking thinking. You know, it's one thing when somebody says, you know, we just can't stand it. Says, well, you need an attitude change. You need to change your attitude. Well, yeah, I mean, that's just like, man, I ain't got an attitude. You need to change your attitude. Well, you know, when you say, well, you got to change your thinking, that's not quite as harsh as you got to change your attitude. But the thing about it, we got to change our way of thinking. We got to think like God thinks. Let this mind be in you. If his mind is going to be in you, then you've got to think like he thinks. 1 + 1 = 2. If we're made in the image of God, amen, he thought of not robbery to be equal with God. Brother Brown said, we are little messiahs. You're tabernacle and deity. We're Christ in bride form. We're the seed of God. God, listen, God cannot father an imperfect seed. If you're a seed of God, your soul is perfect. God cannot father an imperfect seed. Your flesh is not perfect, but your seed is perfect. If your seed's been born again, if it's ordained of God, predestined of God, it is perfect. Amen. It's one thing to say as Brother Donnie brought, I just loved it. It's one thing to say, God, the God of Abraham, the God of Lord help me to slow down. I'm just so excited now I just can't hardly speak. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. But what about the God of Keith? The God of David, the God of Terry, the God of Gene, the God of Jim. What about you? You got to say that's my God. That's my personal God. God let me use his name for redemption. God let me use his name for healing. I can call upon his name. He permitted me to use his name as we sing it in the song. Amen. The God of Terry, the God of Alice, the God, you got to say it. You got to put your name there. Our thinking must stop. It must die. Well, people said, I think, you know, well, I think. Well, that's the problem. You think. That's the problem. Well, I think. I've got you. Brother Bram said, and perseverance, he said, faith, get away from your thoughts. Think his thoughts. See, think what he thinks. You say, Brother Adam, I think you ain't got no thought coming. You ain't got no thought coming. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Then you'll recognize the word. The world falling apart. You say, well, I tell you, I believe you ain't got no thought coming. And that's right. You say, well, I think this. You haven't got no thought coming. I haven't either. The Bible said, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. And he was always about the Father's business. So that's the only thought you ought to have. Oh, I like that. That's the only thought you ought to have. Being about the Father's business. What God said about it. Not what somebody else said, but what God said. That's all there is to it. He said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. People say, well, I've heard this and, you know, this testimony and Brother Bram told somebody this and somebody that, and that's all fine and dandy. But Brother Bram also said, if any revelation, mine or anybody else's, is contrary to this word, said, you leave it alone. Brother, I'm held responsible. God, he gave me this word. This was what I'm going to be judged by. This was what I'm going to follow. God's good enough. God's big enough to keep this word, because if I'm going to be judged by it, he's got to keep it perfect. For him to be a just God, he's got to keep it perfect. And if I'm going to be judged by this message, you know, which this is the word, this is the further part of the word, the present day truth, which the message is the word, of course. We're judged by Jesus Christ. He's the word. God had to protect this message, and he did. So whatever, say what the tapes say. You find it right here in the book. I like what some people, you know, have an issue with the church age book. Say, well, because Lee Bell transcribed and this, that, and the other. I forget the brother's name, but it was said. He got up one time and he said he had a Bible in this hand and a church age hand in this hand. I agree with what he said. He said these two books are like a railroad track. He said you can take them just as far as you want to take them and they'll never cross. But if my house burned down or something like that, it's two books I want. That's the Bible and the church age book, brother. Everything he ever preaches right in there. It's good. Amen. So we've got to get away from that. We've got to get away from our thinking. Let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. Amen. So if we're the final voice to the final age, what are we going to say? We're going to declare who we are. And how are we going to think? We're going to think God's thoughts. He told us, say what he said. Say what the tape said. Let every man's word be a lie and mine be true. That the truth is not relative. The truth is absolute. Amen. Just listen to the absolute the other day. It is absolute. It's like the umpire. He said empire, but the umpire. And the truth is absolute. Whatever he said, that settles it. Amen. That's what we're going to judge by. If he said it, that settles it. That's all of it. The Bible also says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart. Look at the heart of America. Look where she's, as I gave a little history there, and how she'd been degraded and got away from Christian principles and this and that and this and that. And that she's filthy. America's filthy. I'm actually appalled at the rapidness of decay in America. And one way I am and one way I'm not. Since they shined the rainbow lights on the White House on that Saturday, she's just plummeted and gone. She's no redemption. Never has been a redemption since 56. But brother, hey, it's exciting for us because we're getting real close. Amen. Getting real close. The truth is our absolute. So what's in the heart of Laodicea? God said they were wretched, miserable, blind, naked, and didn't know it. But that's why God had to send us Malachi 4 to turn the heart of the children back to the fathers. We was in Laodicea and our heart was corrupt. We was in denomination. We didn't know no better. And our hearts had to be changed back. We had to, as a man thinketh in his heart. That's why your head wasn't changed back. Your heart had to be changed back. I'll send you Elijah the prophet, and he will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Aren't you glad for Malachi 4? Brother Bram said in birth pains, he said, we are promised a new birth according to Malachi 4. I don't read anything in Malachi 4 about a new birth, but because the prophet of God was sent to restore the word, we can have a word birth according to that Malachi 4 prophet. Glory, I love it with all my heart. Amen. You know, you've heard Brother Donnie say, don't miss church. Oh, what a simple thing. Don't miss church. Well, somebody might say, well, church don't save you. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Church don't save you. But I'll tell you this, if you're saved, you'll go to church. Simple. Church don't save you, but if you're saved, you'll go to church. Holy Ghost goes to church. Christ the mystery, he said, if you've got God in your heart, you can't wait for them church doors open. You want more and more and more and more. Listen, I'm going to tell you why it's so important to go to church in just a minute. It's not an option. It's like cutting your hair or anything else. It's a commandment. And there's many reasons. But let's look at a scripture here for a moment. Back to Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, or be ye transformed by the renewing or the renovation of your mind. Now here, this key word is renovation. As we talked about, when you renovate a house, you take all the old stuff out and you put new stuff in. I want to read this the way one writer wrote it, and I thought it was real good. I think I got it up on the screen. Listen to the way this one writer put it up there. He said, think about it this way. The things you see and hear go into your memory. The more you do something, see something, hear something, the more your memory is taken up by those things. For example, those who are in pornography have a tremendous problem kicking that problem. Why? Their memory banks are full of the images and sounds, just like just looking at an attractive person can trigger those memory banks into full action. You see, before we get saved, most spent many, many years filling their memory banks full of ungodly content. When a person accepts Christ, those memory banks are still full of that content. You know, I wish when we got a new birth that we'd get a new brain. But it doesn't work that way. We don't get a new brain when we get a new birth. All we get is a new control tower. I wish we could all get a new brain. It would help. It would solve a whole lot of problems. But we don't get a new brain. But we get a new control tower. And that's better than having a new brain. Because of the soul tells the spirit what to do. The spirit tells the body what to do. And the body says amen. I don't care. It might fuss back. And it might rebel a little bit. But if you just get real tough with it, it'll do what you tell it to do. What's in your mind ultimately will manifest itself daily. That's the reason most people backslide. They never successfully clean out the old thoughts and the information in their mind and fill their mind with God-inspired information. You got to get the old out to put the new in. It's got to be renovated. By the renewing of your mind, by the renovation of your mind, you got to get the old stuff out and put some new stuff in. That's one reason you got to go to church. Oh, my. After you get all the old stuff in out and begin to put the new stuff in, then you can start getting a clean revelation because you got a clean place to put it. Your mind is basically like a computer. Whatever you program in is going to come out. That's just what it is. It's a computer. Whatever you put in is going to come out. So if you put in evil stuff, it's going to come out somewhere, either by your voice or by your actions or by the way you live. If it's in there, it's got to come out. But I know you can't purge it all out, but I tell you what you can do. The more you can get out and the more you can fill your mind with godly content by reading the Bible and listening to the Word of God and listening to tapes and staying away from movies and staying away from pornography and staying away from television and staying away from the things of the world. Fill your mind with godly content. The Bible says whatsoever the things are pure and the good report, think on these things. We don't have time for all this other nonsense. If we're the bride of Christ, let's start acting like the bride of Christ. We've got to live like the bride of Christ. We've got to be like the bride of Christ. We've got to produce the bride of Christ. We've got to get all this ungodly content out. We've got to start living like God wants. We've got to start thinking like God wants. We've got to start being like God wants us to be. Oh, no wonder Brother Bram said that television is preparing the minds of children for the tribulation. Not only children, but parents also. It's what you feed on. Whether it be entertainment or worldlyism or movie and sports and leisure and chasing a dollar and doubt and negativism and lust and the three temptations and so forth like that. All those things, we don't want to feed on none of that stuff. Brother, I tell you what I want to feed on. I want to feed on the Word. That's why I want to come to church. I want to come to church and listen to what the gospel. Listen to the good news. Listen to what the preacher's got to say. Stay in that godly atmosphere. I want to get all that. Listen, I wasn't a saint during the years when I was in high school and a few years before I got saved and so forth. And I know that, you know, some of them old testimonies and stuff like that and old horrible things I don't want to think about. I wish I could be like God put into the bottom of the sea. I can't. But I tell you what, I have filled and refilled and filled my mind and got the most of the evil stuff out and got so much good stuff in. It's so far back I don't even hardly even think about it anymore. The devil brings it up. I said, what are you talking about? The devil says, remember that? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't remember none of that. You know what? You remember what you did when you was 18? I said, no, I just can't hardly recollect. You remember what you did when you was 19? I said, no, I just can't hardly remember that far back. Maybe because I'm 65 or maybe because I got a revelation. I don't know. But I can't remember what it is. Because I know God's forgot it. Why should I remember it? Glory! God's forgot it. Why should I remember it? If we're going to think like God thinks that He forgot it, why should I remember it if He forgot it? So we got to start thinking like He thinks. So therefore, you got to put it in the sea of forgiveness. Don't think like you think. Think like God thinks. Amen. But sister, that's why we need to go to church. It's all that ungodly content and so forth in our mind that we need to get out. And listen, it didn't get in there overnight, and it ain't going to get out overnight. So why it's a continually process. That's why we must replace that with godly content. That's why I said read and listen to tapes and pray into whatever thing is gospel and good report and pure and honest and everything. Stay, you know, whatever you feel, whatever you eat, that's what you're going to be. Whatever you feed on, that's what you're going to be. And whatever you feed on is going to pull on you and pull on you and pull on you. So why not feed on the best? Feed on the good. Feed on the righteous. Feed on the fresh manna. Listen. Pray for revelation. Go to church and when you go to church, listen. Don't fix your tractor. Don't bake a cake. Listen. The story somebody said one time said, how'd you enjoy the service? Well, I didn't get much out of it, but I got my tractor fixed. Don't be fixing your tractor. Listen. You're here for a purpose. Listen to what He's got to say. I don't care if you're sitting back in the back. You can still listen. It's no excuse. Listen, this message is a spiritual detergent mixed with bleach that'll cleanse your mind of all the ungodly garbage that you've seen and heard. All you got to do is take it into your mind, read it, pray about it, live it, feed on it, eat it again, eat it again, eat it again. You know, the Bible's inspired. The message is inspired. You know, I don't care how good the preacher, is. You could take one of his tapes and listen to it twice. It's good. Maybe three times good. But why is it you can listen to Brother Bram's tapes 50 times and it's always wonderful? It's inspired. I'm not saying the other are not inspired, you know, but I'm saying it's just something. Somebody could read the Bible and I say, well, you know, you read the Bible all the way through. Yeah. I said, well, that makes you an expert, doesn't it? Well, no, not exactly. So that means there's a possibility that you might can learn something. Because every time you read it, you're going to get something new. Brother, I mean, we don't know 0.1% of what's in this word. It'll take eternity. That's why throughout eternity, Christ will be constantly unfolding Himself to us. Oh, brother, amen. I got to hurry. Look what God's done for you. And this quote here, paradox. I told you about a paradox. Here's another paradox. He said, I believe in paradox. Yes, sir, I believe in them with all my heart. And what's the most important, listen to this. And what's the most important thing in the world is God's church. God made the earth. He made it for a purpose to take a church out of a bride. And that's the most important job in the world. I believe I could just almost shout. God made this earth to take His bride out of. He made a world that He could take those 16 elves and take a bride out of. He made it for you. So He can have a church. That's what He did for you. Now what are you going to do for Him? Unwelcome Christ. We have other things too. We have other things too that we think more important. My brother, my sister, the most important thing in your life is to entertain Jesus Christ. You believe that? Amen. I believe that the most important thing in any life is to entertain Jesus Christ properly in the first place in your worship, first place in your life, first place in everything. Jesus Christ deserves first place, I mean, with all of my heart. That's why the Lord just laid upon me about 3 years ago, and I've said it several times here and praying and whatever more. You know, I said, what people need to do is fall in love with Jesus Christ. There's too many around the message have never fallen in love with the Lord Jesus, the person, Jesus Christ. You can fall in love with the messenger. You can fall in love with the message. You can fall in love with the prosperity. You can fall in love with the information about the message. You can fall in love with the people around the message. You can fall in love with the messenger himself. But what about falling in love with Christ? It's Christ alone. The prophet of God came to introduce us to Jesus Christ. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. He's done his job. Now what are you going to do with this Jesus called Christ? If people, and I've said it before and used this illustration, I had two or three high school sweethearts when I married my wife, two, three, whatever they were. They were all dead. When I married my wife, my sweethearts was dead. Dead. I didn't say put on a shelf. I didn't say keep their phone number. Dead. When you get married to the Word, the world is dead. When you get married to the Word, the denomination is dead. If you're going to marry the Word, Brother Ben said that. Go back and listen to Visible Union. You see what he said about it. Your first husband must be dead if you're going to marry the Word. Amen. Oh, now, I'm going to close out. Now, actually, this was just my introduction. Start preaching. Actually, I'm going to finish up. I'm going to read several quotes that actually has to do with my theme here. And then we'll tell a little story and then we're going to close. But we're talking about changing our way of thinking. If we're going to be rapture material, we've got to think His thoughts. We've got to think like God thinks. We've got to have the mind of Christ. Carnality has no place anymore. The days of playing church is over. If you haven't really got that revelation yet, brothers and sisters, you're not playing church anymore. It's over. Christ revealing His own Word. Now, in recognizing who you are, you must recognize what age that we're living in. This is the age of intelligence. See, Christ reveals His own Word, 77. See, down through the age, we start off from the foundation, from the first church age when the seed went into the ground, the complete seed. Then it come forth through the feet, Luther come back through Wesley, then to Pentecost, the tongues, into the lips, see now, the eyes, prophetic, of Malachi 4 and so forth. And now there's nothing else left for it to come but Him Himself to step into that cause. That's the last thing there is. The next is the intelligence. Listen now, no other age. Feet, you know, thighs, breasts coming up, so forth like that. All that, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. This is even the eyes was prophetic, the prophet. Now, the next thing is, no more moving faculties. Now is the intelligence. What is the intelligence? Not your intelligence, His intelligence. The next thing is the intelligence. And we have no intelligence of our own. It's His. We have no sight of our own. How can a man foresee those things? He can't do it. It's God Himself. Seeing it's becoming to a place. And He's governed the body all the way through. Then the complete body of Christ is revealed in the form of the bride. That's where we are today. The complete body is revealed in the form of the bride. That was taken out of His side like Adam did, was at the beginning. See this age, let this mind, which also was in Christ Jesus, be in you. This is the age of intelligence. This is the age when Christ's mind truly can be back in His bride. Because He said she knows what God wants done with the Word. Nobody else knows that. You say, well, you make a lot out of this message. Yes, I do. I do make a lot out of this message because God sent it. And I make a lot out of God because God sent it. And God sent Malachi 4 to turn my heart back to the Pentecostal Father that I might be ready for a rapture. Why with all these different denominations and the independents and churches, no wonder He said churches, and bride, all these different churches. Who's right? Who's right? Tell me who's right. I'll tell you who's right. He's right. Amen. We've had this Bible for all these years in Pentecostal wholeness and assemblies of God and every other independent. We didn't know half what we was talking about, but God sent us a messenger. Now we know what to do. Now we know what to say. Now we know how to live. We had to change our way of thinking. Countdown, Bakersfield. This is the age of intelligence. An astronaut has something to control him. When the astronaut is in the air, has something backwards here, down here under Earth that controls him. It's called radar. That radar moves him around, shows where he's at, tells what he's doing. The radar controls him from a radar tower here on Earth. That's the natural astronaut. That's the controller, the chief controller. The controller's in you. The rapture's in you. His literal life is in you. It's all in you. Everything you need for your earthly journey is in you right now.
How many believe that? It's in you right now if you're a predestinated bride. The spiritual astronaut has a control tower, too. It's not down here like man is, it's up there. And it's the Holy Ghost that's in him, that's controlling him. A tower of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have a control tower. Right inside this heart of mine is a control tower. It's the new birth, it's the baptism, it's a gene that's been changed from death into life. It's God himself. It's the token, it's the literal life of God. It's a control tower. It tells my spirit what to do. It tells my flesh what to do. It tells me where to go. It tells me what to say. It tells me when to get up. It tells me when to go to bed. It tells me everything. He is my control tower. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you don't have it, you better get it. Only those that's got the word birth going in a rapture. We know that. 1 Corinthians or Luke 8:35. Here's a couple of scriptures. Now listen to this. You're talking about having the mind of Christ. Luke 8:35, then they went out, this is Gadara, then they went out to see that was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils was departed sitting at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Clothed and in his right mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have. He said it. We have the mind of Christ. He's talking about it's a prophecy of the elected seed. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. I get up in the morning and say, thank God I can wake up in the morning with my sound mind, with my right mind. Because I love the Lord. I desire to live for Him. I desire to go to church. I desire to do what's right. I want to stay clean. I want to stay separated. I got my right mind. Now listen to this. You talk about having your right mind. Why am I a holy roller? I love it. I'm going to shout, sure as a world. Why am I a holy roller? And somebody says, religion runs you crazy. Why, it's the only thing in the world that'll give you your right mind. That's right. Jesus never set anyone crazy. He set the crazy people at liberty and gave them the right mind. Glory! Jesus never made anybody crazy. He said those that was crazy, He gave them liberty. Give them the right mind. Hey, that's what the power of God always did, to liberate the maniacs and so forth and put them in their right mind. And no, listen, and no man is perfectly in his right mind until he found Jesus Christ in his life. Argue with him. It's right there. If you've never found Jesus Christ, you're not even perfectly in your right mind. Jesus Christ in his life, he is it. Now that's bad, but that's the truth. We must face facts. Be transformed by the renovation of your mind. Divine healing. When Christ comes into the heart, then he comes into the mouth. Then he comes into the eyes. Then he comes into the mind. He comes into the mouth. He makes you talk different. You don't talk like you used to. Christ has got your mouth. done growed now from your heart. The love you had for him till you can't till you can bridle your tongue. Brother, that's a great thing. I say amen to that. Till you can bridle your tongue. I say amen to that. I'm going to say it one more time. Till you can bridle your tongue. I say amen to that. Brother Dwight Hall sang a song years ago, Hung by the Tongue. And most people hang themselves all the time. They're hung by the tongue. Brother, that's a great thing. The next thing you know, it grows into your eyes. The next thing you know, you find out that old lustful thing you used to look at, you'll turn your head. You're growing. First thing you know, then you'll turn your head, but you're thinking. After a while, it grows into your mind. You don't even think about it anymore. Then you're a great big boy then. You're coming into full mature, living for the Lord. So then you are in Christ then, a new creature. You're also, it's a brand new creature. But it's a process. But that's the reason we come to church, so we can grow and grow and grow and get the bad stuff out and get the good stuff in. Water of separation. Let this mind which also in Christ Jesus be with you. Waters of separation. You've got to die to every thought of the flesh so that you can receive the mind of Christ and walk from henceforth not your own, but His mind, the mind of Christ in you. That's the only way you can stay alive. That's good, isn't it? You've got to have the mind of Christ. That's the only way you stay alive. Well, that's just true. You'll die spiritually. Proof of His resurrection. The human mind is an enemy to God. Brother, if that ain't just half good. The human mind is an enemy to God. Keith, I'm going to say that again. The human mind is the enemy of God. Let this mind, which also was in Christ Jesus, be in you. Why? Because your mind is an enemy to God. My mind is an enemy to God. I am my own worst enemy, and so are you. We've got to have the mind of Christ. That's why we've got to change the way that we think. The human mind is the enemy to God. You've got to get out of your own human mind and be born anew of the Holy Spirit and get the mind of God in you. Then you can believe those things. Then it becomes a reality. Lord, have mercy. The time has done gone away. Let me skip down a couple of these. Jim said, do not say I'm closing 15 times. Jehovah of miracles. If you want angels to appear to you, keep your mind on God. Boy, I like that. If you want angels to appear to you, keep your mind on God and off the things of the world. Go about your business. Go to your church. Go to your washing of dishes. Wherever you are, keep your mind on Him all day and all night. Then God will do something. You're drawing close to Him. You've got the world shut out. Just you and He are together. Remember on the way to Emmaus, they were talking about the Cleopas and his friend and, you know, discussing, oh, we thought he was going to be the one to redeem Israel, this, that, and the other. And Jesus walks out and his identity was beholden because he was in a resurrected body and, you know, didn't have a gray beard and so forth like that. Probably a young man, 18 or 20. They, of course, said, God behold the identity anyway. But he walks all the way to Emmaus and describing and talking about, you know, the resurrection, these wonderful promises and so forth. And then what's he do? He compels them to come in. He says, no, Jesus, I've got to go. No, come on inside. So Brother Ben says, after they got inside and shut the door, got all the unbelief out, then he could reveal himself to them. We've got to get inside. That's the reason you can't get in the outer court. You can't get in the inner court. You've got to be in the holies of holies. You've got to be shut in with God in a secret place. That's the only place he's going to reveal himself to you, inside the holies of holies. You might have a head knowledge of this message, but without being born again, you'll never get a true revelation. You must have a word birth. That's what he said in birth pains. Oh, I just love it. It's good, isn't it? Jehovah miracles. He says, Jehovah miracles, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. David spoke, write his commandments on the bedpost and meditate on them day and night. That's what the church ought to do. Keep your heart tuned in God day and night, for that's when he appears. Solomon said, as a man taketh his heart, so is he. Begin to think that you're one of his children, that he saved you, he's good to you, you love him, he loves you. Don't just wait till you go to church or some convenient hour. Just keep him on your mind all the time. Amen. Think of him all the time. Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. To be carnally minded, death. That's why we've got to think like God thinks. Our old carnal mind has got to die. Here's a good one. He said, did you ever see a person have a temper fit? Question answers. 59. Did you ever see a person have a temper fit? Well, that's just what it is. That's just them devils. That's what happened to them. Talking about Gadara. You ever see them having a temper fit? You say, I know what happened in Gadara now. See, that's exactly. Just a few more come in there. Run him completely insane. Because the medical doctor will tell you that a temper is the first stage of insanity. That's what Mayo says, the first stage of insanity. Lord have mercy. Give me the mind of Christ. Let this mind, which also in Christ Jesus, be in you. Amen. Musicians, come on. I'm going to read another quote, then I'm going to just tell a little story, and then we're going to close. Come on, musicians. If you don't come, I'll just preach right on. Thank you. Identification. Then when we let His character be in us, then we have become sons by having the mind of Christ. Mind, which is His character. Your mind makes your character. Did you hear what I said? Your mind makes your character. Let the mind, Paul said, of Christ be, this mind that was in you, in Christ be in you. Let that mind of Christ be in you. It molds the character of a son of God. We must have the mind of Christ. Here's a good one for election year. curtain of time. And notice while they all spake about him, talked about him, he appeared. That's a good way to get him to come around. You talk about him all the time. Amen. Keep your conversation not on who, not on the next play comes on television or the next movie is coming on or who's going to be elected president. Talk about Jesus. Said Christians talk about anything but Christ in these days. Go out always a bunch of nonsense and everything. They want to talk about something but never talking about Christ. Talk about Him. Sing about Him. Love Him. Keep Him on your heart and the mind all day and night. All day and night. Oh, just wonder. On and on and on. I'm going to tell this story. We're going to close. I told this story a few years ago. Listen, in closing. For us, we have never been this way before. 5 minutes, I'm closing. We have never been this way before. Just like Joshua crossing over, you know, he said, you be of good courage and so forth, you know, and write these laws upon your heart and this, that, and the other. We've never taken a body change. We've never seen a rapture. I mean, we've been in the message. We understand a lot of things, but we've never gone this way before. This is in one sense of words, this is uncharted territory. We've got to have somebody to direct us. We've got to have somebody to guide us. We've got to have somebody to tell us how to do it. And we've we have that. We have the Word of God. We have the message of the hour. We have the Word of God revealed to us. But, you know, but every day, you don't, as Brother Donnie said, you don't have a list. Okay, on a Thursday morning, you get up and there's 10 things you got to do today. You just check them off and you do it. And that's what, no, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. We got to pray. We got to believe. We got to be led by God. So we've got to have a control tower, a controller to take us home. We got to have a controller to take us home. Years ago, when I was in the Air Force, I was flying on C-130s, and we had been flying all day long, delivered several loads of cargo, and we had to go into, it's either Zaragoza, Spain, or Terrahome, Spain. It was nighttime, and we were almost out of fuel, and we had to land. So we called ground control and said, ground control, and our call sign was Charlie 2-1. Said, this is Charlie 2-1 requesting directions, you know, for landing. He said, Charlie 2-1, I'm sorry, the runway is closed. So, well, we need to land. I said, I'm sorry, the runway is closed. So why is it closed? He said, well, it's closed because it's zero visibility from up to about 1,000 feet. There's just the fog has set in. You can't even see your hand before you. And it said, well, the runway is closed. Have a good day. So we called him back, said, ground control, we've got to have landing instructions. We've got to land. He said, sir, I'm sorry. We told you it's closed. He said, well, you don't understand. We're out of fuel and we got to land. So well, you might can find a closer airport. We don't have time to find a closer airport. We've got to land now because we're out of fuel. And so he said, have you ever done a blind landing? What we call a GCA approach. Said, no, I've never done a blind. I did one in the simulator. He said, well, you're going to do one now. Listen, I'm in this airplane. You know, pilot, co-pilot, flight engineer, navigator, crew chief up there, and I'm watching. You know, you look out there, there's so much fog, you can't even see the windshield. Can't even see the windshield wipers out there. So he said, okay, we are going to control you by radar, and we're going to bring you on the ground. This happened to me. I was there. So we're about 40 miles out, base leg coming in, gives us our headings to go in. We're coming in. It gives us our rate of descent, and we're going down. We get in about 30 miles, talking to the controller, in about 20 miles, talking with the controller, all the way down to about 7 miles. And at 7 miles, it's something interesting. I'll never forget what the controller said. He said, Charlie 2-1 said, be advised, you're 7 miles out. From this point on, there'll be no need for any further conversation. Only acknowledge my commandments. And I thought to myself, well, you know, down through 7 church ages, you know, we've talked and we've argued and we've fussed about like that. But when the 7th angel came and the 7th church age major came, he said, just to follow my commandments. Just acknowledge my commandments. Ain't no need for any more discussion. Brother, when what he said, there's no need for any more discussion. You just acknowledge my commandments. The pilot said, yes, sir. So at 7 miles out, he starts saying, and what you have in a GCA approach, this ground control approach, they have... two little blips on the radar, and you have a glide path, and it's a little streak there, and your blip, of course, is the airplane, and you have a glide path that you're supposed to go from your altitude down to touching down. And then you also, you have another blip that tells you your windage, you know, your left, if you're left or right of the glide path, or you're up and down. So he gives us direction 7 miles out, 8 miles out. If you're off a little bit, say turn right, heading 015, and the pilot say correcting 015, or turn left. He said you're slightly above glide path instead of correcting, and let it down a little bit, you know, coming down 7 miles, 6 miles. And, and we're not talking anything, we're just listening. And I see the pilot there, captain, he'd never done this before. You look outside, you can't see the windshield wipers. We're making a blind landing. And I can see the sweat all the way rolling down his face. He never done this, and I'm on the airplane. This is my life he's talking about. You know what I mean? 5 miles out, 4 miles out, 3 miles out, you know, and I'm on headset. I'm listening to the whole thing. To get about 2 miles out, you know, we're correcting, you know, as he's correcting, and I mean, the sweat's just rolling off that captain. I mean, he is there. He's glued. You know, he can't see anything. You might as well have his eyes closed, but he's glued to his instruments. He's watching that instrument, you know, and what that controller is telling him. Remember, it's the controller that's bringing him to a safe landing. It ain't him. He ain't doing nothing. All he's doing is following the commandments of the controller. Whatever the controller says, that's what he's going to do. He ain't going to deviate one bit. Whatever the controller says, do that exactly. 2 miles out, 1 mile out, and he says, you should be over. You're getting out about 100 yards and so forth. Says you should be, and he said, you know, check landing gear, you know, check this and everything. Go through our checklist. Said you should now be over the strobe lights. You should now be over the landing threshold. You should now be touching down. Hear the wheels squeal. We do our rollout and taxi on it. I mean, a perfect landing. A perfect landing. And then you know what the controller does? The chief controller calls us up and he says, Charlie 2-1, good landing. Good job. The chief controller says, good job. I say, good job. You're the one that did it, not us. All we did was follow the instructions. Brother, that's the way it's going to be when we get on the other side. It ain't what I did, it's what he did. But you know what he's going to say? Let's stand up. You know what he's going to say? Just like he told Abraham. He said, Abraham, look out there. Look at the stars in the heaven and the sands of the seashore. He said, you're going to have children like that. And Abraham said, yes, Lord, whatever you say. He said, I don't understand it, but whatever you say, that's the way it's going to be. And God gives him the faith and then turns around and gives him credit for having faith. God gave Abraham credit for having faith, and God's one gave him the faith. Brother, sister, God's going to get us out of here, and he's the one who's going to get credit for getting us out of here, but he's going to give it to you. Glory. Brother Harry, I tried to get Louie to sing it, and I tried to get everybody to sing it. They don't see it, so we're going to sing it again. God's good all the time. We'll try F this time, won't we? God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Let's sing the verse now. If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Oh, do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. Why? Because He promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And His word is true. God is good. Sing it now. All the time, He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, oh, His light will shine. God is good. Oh, God is good all the time. Oh, we were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us He chose to die. He filled us with His
says, Holy Spirit, now we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting and His mercy they will never end. God is good all the time. What a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good. God is good all the time.
God is good all the time. What a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good. I said God is good. God is good all the time. If you're walking in the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear. He will guide you. And sound, cause He promised to never leave.
Amen.
You nor forsake you. And His word is true.
God is good.
God is good all the time.
All the time.
What a song of praise
in this
heart of mine.
God is good.
He's good all the time. Brothers, I know this one thing. I ain't what I want to be, and I ain't what I ought to be, but I sure know I ain't what I used to be. And I say that with love and respect and honor, because I love what she said. I ain't what I should be, and I ain't what I'm going to be, but I sure ain't what I used to be. How do you know you got the new birth? Check your desires. What were you then? What's your desires? Brother Brown said you were going down a road this way. Said something crossed your path. Turned you around. Now you're going this way. Something changed you. Something happened. Why would you be going this way? Now you're going this way. It only can be one thing. It's Christ. Why do we love Brother Brown so much? I'll tell you why we love him so much. It's not the man, it's the Christ in the man. He had so much of Christ in him. Why does anybody love anybody so much? Because it's the Christ in them. We have nothing good within ourselves. But if we have Christ in us, then that's the only thing that will ever last. That's the only thing that's good. There's nothing good. There's no none good, no, not one. But it's Him. Aren't brothers and sisters, I know, and I'm going to let you go. Aren't you so thankful and so happy that God has elected you to see this truth? It's the greatest privilege on the earth, Brother Burke, to be able to see and have a revelation and love and have been given the desire to serve the Lord. Now look at David. I've said it before, but I just can't hardly, get it out of my mind. About 20 years ago, preaching for Brother David Morris and Brother David Siler here sitting on the front row, probably about just right, same place right there. About, how old were he? 14, 15, 16, something like that. About 12 years old. You know what he's doing? Amen, brother. Preach it. That's right. Amen, brother. Come on now. Preach it. That's right. He ain't ever changed. Same way. I love you, Brother David. What kept him all these years, gave him that desire to serve the Lord? Had to be Christ. Amen. As Brother Harry, can you sing the song while we close? It's Christ Alone. And we just sing that and close him. Brother, I'm just so happy to be a Christian. And let's just bow our heads for prayer. Lord Jesus, Brother Harry's going to sing that song as we go. It's Christ Alone. It's all you, Lord. We look at predestination. We look at election, the foreknowledge, all these things. We did not choose you. You chose us. Lord, we're not worthy. We're not better than anybody else. We know that. We're probably the least. I'm sure of that. But we didn't have anything to do with it. It was your choosing, your election. We were in your thoughts, part of you. We're thankful for that. We just appreciate you so much. Lord, I pray that you take this broke up message, give it to the people. May they understand, and truly may we have such a mind change that we'll think the thoughts of God. Let this mind, which also is in Christ Jesus, be in you. Bless your children. Lord, as they're dismissed, we ask for your love and divine guidance and mercy. As they prayed, I pray that you'll be with Brother Donnie as he goes to the meeting up at Brother Bryant's, and just keep him, bless him, anoint him to speak. Different ministries and churches around the world, people on vacation, traveling, keep them safe and bring them back safely is our humble prayer. Lord, and we had this request here that the deacon gave to me. Brother Jack Yontz had to leave the service. He was dizzy and sick. I just pray for my brother. Lord, he's such a precious brother, and I just ask for your divine touch upon his life. Lord, I don't know if he went home, went to the hospital, whatever, but I'm asking you, Lord, that you go with him, that you be with him. And we ask that the Holy Spirit is the enforcer. Enforce, Lord, your promise, that you promise that by your stripes he's healed. Make him well. Take the dizziness away from him and the sickness away from him. We bind that enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we as a body of believers, Lord, want to put 1,000 flight to 10,000. So greater is he that's within us and he that's in the world. We pray, Lord, you'll touch your brother, and Lord, and your son, rather our brother, and make him well. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe it to be done. And everybody says, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Amen. You're free to go worship as Brother Harry sings that song. It's Christ alone. Amen. God bless you.
In Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won.
Praise him.
I've been blessed beyond measure, and by his strength alone I overcome. I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand. But those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of his cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, is Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, for only by his grace I am redeemed. And only his tender mercies could reach beyond my weakness to my need. And now I seek no greater honor than just to know him more, and to count my gains as losses to the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is in Christ. Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is in Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Him I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone.
You're dismissed.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release myself, the more He can take control. Every day I live.